We are considering what it means to live from the heart. You know, there are so many demands in our lives. There are so many places that pull us. There are lots of things to live for, moments to live in, ideals to build our lives on. Oh, the list can go and go and go. And I find myself saying words like for and on and in and above and around and all these words that, I don't know about you, but I learned in the seventh grade when I had to memorize all the prepositions. I don't know if any of you have did that. A little shout out to Mrs. Nan Curvis, my seventh grade English teacher. She taught us about these preposition words, that we're in relationship with things, that things are placed together in different ways and have to interact. And so we have special words for these things. For and in and on. They tell us about a position. They tell us about a relationship. And these words came to my mind this week as I reflect on what is our position in relationship to life as people of faith. What are the things that we live for? What are the moments we seek to live in? What are the ideals we might live on? I invite us to consider that all of these different relationships we have in life, all of them can be shaped by where we choose to live from. Now, you can call it your soul. You can call it your place of truth. You can call it your honest self. There are so many ways to describe something that we carry within us. Something I like to call who we are at heart. It really is the heart of who we are. You see, and when we can live from that place, when we can live from the heart, it shapes every aspect of our lives. And so that no matter what the changes in life, no matter what the challenges in life, no matter what the circumstances in life, no matter what things are day to day to day, we still know where we're coming from. As I was preparing for a career in ministry in seminary, I remember talking with one of my professors, and I mentioned to her, I really wasn't sure if I knew what I was supposed to do once I got out into the real world. And how come they didn't really teach us what we should do? And she looked at me and she said, you know, I could never teach you what to do, because there is not enough time to really even list all the circumstances life will bring you, let alone teach you what to do in those moments. Instead, all she said was, all I can do is teach you how to think clearly and act boldly. And if you do those things, you'll always end up doing the right thing. It's about where we come from. See, this is the invitation to live from the heart. This is one of those things. When I prepare a sermon, I'll often run stuff by my wife. And my wife is great because she's a very... People that know my wife are smiling and smirking. She's a very pragmatic person. She's not one who grew up with a real churchy upbringing, so she calls me on a lot of stuff. Okay, you say that, but what does that really mean? I don't know. It sounded good. And one of her favorite questions is, okay, that's nice that you're saying that, but what are people supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? I mean, each and every week as we look at things together and try to delve into what God offers us in Scripture and in community and all these things, there is that question, well, what do we do about it? But all the circumstances are so unique, it's hard to make a laundry list. Okay, this week you all need to do this. But if the invitation is to live from a place of who we truly are, when we make the decision each and every day of what we need to do, we can find ourselves in line with what God is asking us. Now, one of the things that, as we've looked at this idea, we've begun to talk about living from the heart. We opened up with the idea of the calling that we might hear in our hearts. Last week, Jeff so beautifully engaged the idea of what it is to look at life as it confronts us and seek God's presence in whatever might come. And in the weeks to come, we're going to be considering some of the simple acts that allow us to live intentionally and meaningfully each and every day. Things that help us live out who we are. Now, one of those things that we can do every day to help us live from our hearts is prayer. And so that was where I thought we might start our conversation this day, with prayer. But prayer is an extremely broad topic, as there is no single definition of what prayer is or what prayer can be. I took a few classes on prayer in seminary, and they were all pass-fail. because every professor felt there was no way you could grade someone's prayer. You either did it or you didn't. And even people who didn't could argue, no, that's how I pray. It was a very interesting kind of situation. But this is something I want us to look at. So this broad topic of prayer, I don't know if I can tell you exactly what to do. Now, we could sit and we could have a study together, and there are great materials that talk about the many methods of prayer, different ways we can actively pray, and we can engage some of those conversations. But on a bigger level, what is it to live from the heart and live a life that is prayerful? I started thinking about my own relationship with prayer. My earliest understandings of prayer were very physical embodiments. If you folded your hands, closed your eyes, and were kneeling, you were praying. Right? Those were the critical elements. I don't know what else had to happen, but once you were doing those things, you were praying. Now, as I got a little bit older, I moved from those kinesthetics of prayer to more of the words. Okay, so prayer is about the things you say, like right before bed when we're praying. And I began to realize that prayer was sort of this nice outline. There were specific bullet points you needed to hit, right? You open with a greeting, "Dear God." And then you'd move into sort of that main section in the middle where you both asked for things and said thank you for things. You know, thank you for my day. Please watch over me while I sleep. And then when you were done with all the please and thank yous, you got to the closing. There was sort of a goodbye. Amen. And this worked for me for a very long time, right? You open, you say thank you, you say what you need. It worked, and it was there, and that was part of my life. And it was what I said at night. It was what I said before a test. It was, you know, these things that came up in life, and that's what I would do. But then there came moments in my life that started to challenge that idea. Because some questions started to sink in. What is prayer really doing? But I prayed for that and it didn't happen. Or what about if I don't ask for something, will God not make it happen? Like, what if I forget to pray for something? And what if someone else and I are praying for two different things, right? Sheldon, you bring this up every time we talk about praying for a sports team, right? I mean, people in another city are praying just as hard for their team. So what on earth are we doing here? And you can watch after a game and talk about people, faithful. And you're like, wait, so your prayer was better than ours? That's why you won? I thought it was a bad defense. Anyway, reality starts to sink in. And I'll make light jokes about this, but then there are the hard moments. And Dixie, if I may say, your prayer request today is a beautiful example of what it is to pray for something that seems so real and powerful. Why would that happen? We pray for life, and it doesn't. And suddenly that little outline doesn't just seem to fit anymore, right? I said, "Dear God," I said, "Amen," and I said, "Thank you for life, please take care of this situation," and it doesn't work all the time. And so my relationship with prayer got a little messy, got a little distant. Now, I've always had a prayer life, but sometimes my prayer life is a little bit more functional than personal. Right? I know I'll pray for people. I'll pray for things. I open meetings with prayer. I will pray for folks. When I see it on the cards, I stop and I pray, but it's a function. It's not coming from my heart as much as it could with my own personal relationship. You know, what I realized was that I had never really decided what prayer was for me. These motions I was going through, the words that I would say, they really were what I thought I was supposed to do. And they weren't coming from my heart. And so I've been on a search for what prayer can be. And it's a search that I'm still on. Now, one of the places that I have found some great insight into prayer is the Bible. Now, that may seem like sort of a no-duh kind of a thing for the pastor to say on a Sunday morning. But I want to be clear that I don't just sit up here and read you some scripture every week because I'm required to. The Bible is where I go for my own growth as a person. Now, in a minute, I'm gonna have Cole share a scripture with us. He's going to read it from a version of the Bible called The Message. It's actually one of a Bible he got for Christmas. But I want to read you the traditional translation of this scripture before you hear it that way. Here's this version of the scripture from Matthew. "When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they will get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. I never got much out of that verse that way. But then I came across this version. Cole, would you share it with us?
Jesus said, "Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace."
Thanks, Cole. That older translation of Scripture never really spoke to me because I really don't know anyone who prays for attention or prays in a way to get attention like that. And maybe this just comes from my own personal experience. I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting in this church or any church, but usually when the pastor says, "Okay, would anyone like to open us in prayer?" It's like one of those old MCI commercials where you watch the pin drop and you can hear it across the room. Everyone sort of looks and then all eyes turn to the pastor. "Okay, I'll do it." You see, I can't even seem to get folks to pray in a small group of people they know, so I don't think any of you need a sermon on not praying on the street corners for attention. If any of you do get to that point, let me know. We'll talk about it. But really, this idea of, you know, I just haven't seen that. I've never had an issue with that either. And so what does this mean? And then I came to this scripture in the Message, this newer translation of the scriptures, and something clicked that hadn't before. Hear these words again. Jesus says, "Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Now just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense God's grace." It's funny, I can barely even believe that's the same scripture, but it comes from the same Greek words. I mean, those scriptures are like night and day to me. This verse addresses in this translation not prayer as a show for other people, but it calls us on the idea that sometimes prayer might be a show that we put on for God. The role playing we use to dress up our prayers and maybe sometimes hide who we are, hide what we need. Intentional or not, I think it's something that happens easily, all too easily. When we worry about what we should say in our prayers, that's role playing. When we worry that we don't feel anything when we pray like all these other people do, so maybe I need to try it some other way, it's role-playing. When we think about, you know, what we're worrying about and needing and feeling, and when we're thinking, well, that's not important enough to pray about, there's other people who have other things that are more important than what I need, we're role-playing. Here in the words of Jesus, we are finding an invitation to just be simply and honestly as we can. You'll notice Jesus doesn't offer any instructions on what to do with our eyes or hands or knees. Jesus doesn't give us some words or phrases or an outline to follow. Jesus just invites us to find something within ourselves and live from the heart in that moment. You see, praying from the heart is really about a state of being. If we feel broken, we can just be broken. If we're feeling joyful, we can just be joyful. If we're feeling tired, if we're feeling peaceful, if we feel nothing, or if we feel loved, we can just be that way in prayer. And then Jesus tells us that the focus will shift from us to God, and we will begin to sense God's grace. See, it starts with us. It starts with who and how we really are, and then the grace comes through, and it begins to be about the relationship. Maybe words begin to form. If they do, then say them. Maybe an action feels appropriate. Then go and do it. Or perhaps a conversation needs to have it. Then discuss. Or perhaps silence surrounds you. Then let it. Prayer, when it's lived from the heart, is about being with God, however that feels real to us. It's simply about the relationship. This way of thinking about prayer got me thinking about many different relationships in life and the roles that we play with different people. because I was trying to think of this relationship with God. Is it like relationships I have in other ways? And well, I think about, you know, the many different roles and relationships we have in our lives. There are many people with whom I have a certain role, be it husband or son or pastor or neighbor or coworker or friend. And I'm sure you have roles similar to these. These roles come with certain expectations and certain boundaries and certain history. And okay, so these are the roles and relationships that we have. And when we sit with these different people and we have these conversations, those roles often shape what we talk about. Okay, I'm seeing that. But what about this idea of not role-playing? Are there certain people with whom we don't play any roles? It got me thinking about a certain kind of relationship that builds over time. You know, maybe there are certain people with whom there is no role. Mind you, they begin in a certain kind of relationship, and there are those different things, but over time, something can happen that brings new depth to a relationship. It's sort of hard to explain. You know, they used to be in this certain kind of boundary, and then something changes over time, and things get real. Let me explain it this way. There are certain people for whom I no longer clean my house when they come over. Do you know these people? Do you have some of these people? I remember there was one such friend who even called me on it one time. I had some friends over, and he walked in there, and he smiled, and he went, "I love that you finally think we're good enough friends to just leave the house the way it is." You know, that meant something to him, that I would just let him see things as they are instead of trying to tidy things up into some form of performance art. That is what my house is when it's clean. You see, the conversations that I have with friends like that, they're different. Because just like I don't pick up the house, I no longer am intentionally trying to clean up, hide away, and present a certain view of my life when I talk with them. It's just who I am. And I wonder if that isn't what Jesus is inviting us to do with our prayer lives. To quit worrying about the tidying up and the presenting and that it needs to look this way and this is what people will expect. But when we find ourselves in a moment when we can be with God, perhaps Jesus is saying this. Quit trying to tidy up and make a presentation out of your prayers. I love that you finally think we're good enough friends to just bring your life the way it is. Amen.